Yes, everybody. It's Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here for Party Friday on the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up. And Julie has been ripping the media a new one as far as breaking stories this morning. And we'll get into that. But we want to first talk about our great sponsor.
Yeah, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. One of the websites I check every day, Colorado's Conservative Voice. They have all kinds of stuff up there, particularly a lot of confusion about this whole reopening process. When we get Patrick Neville on for the Weekly Minority Report, we'll talk about that. We will, as Chuck says, have the latest on Scrubgate and what's going on with that. We've been investigating. And Peter Boyles from 710 KNUS is going to join us about that.
The national media has been calling, Julie, and it's been kind of exciting here at the old homestead.
Well, you know, what I want to say about that is that we want to it's not me, right? It's the people who came forward, who recognized that this was a fraud, who recognized
me.
It was all Chuck. I'm just the minion. But in the meantime, too, though, also to let folks know, at 2:30 Pacific time, 3:30 our time. I always get goofed up there because we're all over the wherever the globe. In Japan, I'm not sure what time it'll be. But Dahlia Weinstein is going to come on. She's a former Rocky Mountain News reporter, and she and I have been talking about, you know, back to the Scrubgate, the picture of those two people in scrubs, and saying, you know, that would have never happened before, and wanted to talk a little bit about how journalistic standards have changed. But we got Patrick Neville with us now, House Minority Leader. Patrick, we made it to Friday. Happy Friday.
We barely made it, but we're here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're supposed to open up soon. Well, kind of, sort of, right?
Yeah. You know, well, we wanted to ask you about that. I mean, I was supposed to go in for some elective surgery, which is I got my tooth broke off in the front of my mouth, and now I can't have it next week because Hancock has decided that dentists in Denver are in danger. I need a dentist, I guess, in Weld County or something.
Yeah, that's a question, Patrick. What do you make of this? So Pola said, okay, we're going to lift the statewide stay-at-home order Monday, right? And then days went by, and I probably, like me, I mean, the lady who cut my hair called. I had all kinds of people call. A Rev's pediatrician called. Everybody set up appointments.
In our newspaper, we had ads for people saying, hey, you know, we're opening so-and-so day.
And then boom.
And now, of course, the world's most evil organization, probably since Spectre in the James Bond books, Tri-County Health, has now decided that, you know,
we can't open it.
We don't really have democracy.
Well, that's the worst of the worst, right?
I mean,
that's the worst of this whole situation. When you have unelected bureaucrats making these decisions, that is what absolutely has to change. And that's why, gosh, a month ago, all of us Douglas County legislators signed on to a letter to the Douglas County commissioner saying, please divest yourself from Tri-County Health and contract with someone else. If they are not going to listen to you as Douglas County commissioners, then you need to find a different organization. And we were all raked over the coals by everyone. Kyle Clark, you know, it's funny, he made this hilarious analogy of, well, if there's a fire and there's a forest evacuated homes, you're not going to say we're going to divest from West Metro Fire Department. But the fact of the matter is, if there's an evacuation order, that comes from an elected sheriff. This is the only situation I can ever think of where you've got unelected bureaucrats making these huge decisions. And so we signed on to that letter over a month ago, and we got raked over the coals. But I'm telling you, it probably that decision.
What response did you get from the commissioners, if any?
I'm good. 2 out of 3. So Roger Partridge and Laura Thomas were with us the whole way. I have not heard from Abe Layden other than he's trying to blame some statute that was passed back in 2008. But it's like, dude, you have the ability right now to divest from Tri-County Health. Do it.
Well, you know,
contract for someone else.
It'd be one thing if the so-called unelected bureaucratic experts had been right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That'd be one thing. But they have been wrong, and not just a little wrong in their models, the reason we all had to do this in the first place, right? They've been massively, completely wrong. And so why are we even listening to them?
Well, here's another part. I mean, I sort of understood, not really, but sort of understood flattening the curve. You didn't want to cause the hospitals to be overrun.
Triage
and ventilators. Instead, they're firing people because they've stopped all the surgery, including very important surgery, like elective surgery, like your hip or your, you know, brain aneurysm or something else. And now they bankrupted the hospitals. And so what's the theory now? I mean, I understand some of the theories saying we have to.
And they bankrupted everyone else too, Chair.
What bothers
me most about this is the reason, the only reason elected officials would want to abdicate their role is because they want to abdicate their responsibility.
Right.
And that's why I've been saying all along that all these decisions have to be made by elected officials. And, you know, Kyle Clark and the rest will criticize me and say, oh, well, we've got to defer to the experts. Well, look, experts. They can make recommendations to me all day long, but it should be my responsibility because I can be held accountable. These guys cannot be held accountable.
But wait a minute, isn't Kyle Clark an elected official? I thought he was. Expert at everything, including hoaxes. The king of hoaxes. I thought maybe he got elected as king of hoaxes.
And let me, you know, we had, somebody sent me, Jan Cook, God bless her, with Colorado Freedom Force, who was busy today, by the way, rallying people all over the state to go ahead and push for this reopening.
Yeah, May 1st. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, she sent a letter that a person had received, a hair person from DORA, the Department of Regulatory Agencies. And you read that letter, and if I'm a hair person, I'm like, so can I open or can't I? Is this a guideline? Is this a law? I mean, what they're doing...
It's the same game they've been playing the whole time. It's the same thing they've done with the chiropractors.
Right.
They pushed back and they said, oh, no, we'll open the chiropractors. But then they kind of gave this nuanced guidance. And then the bureaucrats actually start threatening chiropractors with license revocation. And so they're saying, oh, well, we're not going to open then. I mean, gosh, if we can take our license, that's a death sentence for our business.
Can't we lay off DORA? If we got to lay
why
off,
are they essential?
If you know, if we're running out of people and they say they're going to have, you know,
if
have
school
to lay
districts
off, state,
have look,
yeah,
money back,
yeah, maybe we can lay off DORA for a few months.
Well, and let's do this.
That'd be fun. Why don't you push that a little bit? See how they react.
And I don't get why, Patrick. And again, just to look at the place that this is putting businesses in. Why is it so? Hancock opens up golf courses, which, considering the fact that all he does is try to destroy Denver golf courses, is so I don't understand. Well, right, golf courses are essential. We get that. But so it's, in other words, so if I can go, so we're supposed to stay at home, I guess, unless we're going to go golfing. I mean, it's just, if you're a business person, if you're just a citizen trying to figure out, okay, what can I or can't I do? How has it changed? My perception is it's completely, you know, and do I live in Boulder? Or if I go around this street now, am I in, you know, Jefferson County? So are the rules different? How are we supposed to make sense of it? And it seems like all they're doing is, in this jumbled up reopening, making things worse.
Well, they're picking winners and losers. That's what's happening. I mean, the big box stores can open up. So if my wife wants to go make a mask for me, she can go to Walmart and hopefully pick up some sort of materials. Probably not, because they're probably sold out.
Yeah.
Where the Walmart is totally packed right now, and they've been packed since this whole crisis started. Go to Hobby Lobby, which would probably be totally empty right now. No, you can't do that.
No.
Right.
We talked about these. I mean, there's some other big things that I think we should be talking about too, moving forward. I mean, for every restaurant out there that has to pay business personal property tax on all their furniture and all their tables and everything else, and the government has flat out said they can't use that for the last month. Why?
Good point.
We should be giving them relief on at least not paying taxes on the equipment they can't use for this last month.
Good point.
Well, you know what else? We've heard from some Denver restaurants where, you know, I mean, the economy up until they decided to close it down was booming. And so property taxes have gone up. So you've got restaurants that in December were doing great, right? And all of a sudden now have zero income, but their property tax hasn't changed, right? They owe these outrageous amounts. And
that also ought to be abated. No property taxes.
Right. I mean, that's another one. But I mean, the business personal property tax.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because you're flat out saying you can't use
right
in your restaurant that you're paying taxes on.
Right, right. Well, and the same thing, it seems wrong to me that on the one hand, Polis, because we had a guy with the school board saying that Polis, he expects, Mark Poff was telling us this, that he expects that Polis will, when the legislature convenes, they're going to say, okay, since all you schools didn't do the testing because we closed you down, you have to give us that money back, right?
Good.
And all of a sudden, school districts are saying their budgets are going to be slashed.
Good, let them lay off some teachers.
But my point, though, is with, like you, Patrick, it's like you've had these local, you know, governments, and not even the governments, unelected bureaucrats closing things down. And now they're saying to people, oh, but you have to continue giving us money. In fact, you have to give us money back because we need it now since we've closed everything down.
Yeah, for ourselves.
You know, another thing, I'm basically saying that we got to use this new stimulus money that we got from the federal government to backfill the state's budget.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. I mean, this is driving me crazy because this
is
paying this off.
Well, Senator,
paying it off. It's not you guys paying it off. It's going to be my 12-year-old daughter that pays off our national debt. It's going to be paying for all these different bills going forward. And so,
I think it's going to be your granddaughter's great granddaughter to be paying this one off. But has Senator Chris Hansen apologized to you yet?
For trashing you?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, you saw what they did. They tried to double down, and instead of saying, oh, yeah, he said the word Gestapo, instead of now I'm a bigot and racist and everything else. And no, of course, no one's apologized. No mainstream media has done a real story on what happened on Sunday with that poor lady that was actually attacked and had to use her pepper spray to repel her attacker. That's the reason why I took off my mask. No, of course, nothing. Nobody. Like that.
Well, and why, Patrick, what is
and this? And it's funny, too, because I'm getting emails on the other side, too, saying, you're not doing enough to stop all this. And I'm like, well, I'm all open for ideas, guys.
But there you go, exactly.
I've literally been on the radio every single day this week, on TV several times this week. I'm all open for ideas. If someone has a clever idea of how we can help push back on this, please let me know.
Well, and I know we've only got you for a couple more minutes because you've got to get back to earning a living and trying to make a living and make a future living. What do you make of the fact that all of a sudden now you've got Kyle Clark and other people saying this is racist, that the coronavirus is actually racist? The Democrats had some kind of, they wrote a letter, not about getting the economy back to work, not about getting people back to work.
Stop
right?
racism.
But to stop the racist aspect. I mean,
well, but you have on Peter Boyle's show this morning that, you know, they, Marshall Zellinger is kind of a whole, no Republicans are, none were invited.
No Republicans sound,
and you're all racist, and you're all, you know, forget to tell you that your governor called the Arizona governor a Nazi? No, he waits till they're gone, it's safe, and then he mentions it just to pretend, you know. And Marshall is not a Kyle Clark. He's not the slime pit that Kyle Clark is. But still, it was kind of the typical one. You don't want to embarrass those Democrats as they're screaming racism.
Well, Marshall's definitely better than most. And I think that's why I actually did point out some of that out. And of course, I would have liked him to push harder on Daphne Michelson Janae on, I didn't know he did that. Well, sir, you're going to demand an apology for him for doing
that. Where were you that day?
Et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, here's what's going on, guys. I mean, here's the truth. The governor took a big hit because stories started coming out showing that he was blocking increased testing.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that story from Sean Boyd, but there was a story out there that he basically blocked the ability of a lab that we have right here in Colorado that can do 1,300 tests a day, which practically doubles our capability.
Right.
I mean, it's huge, right? I mean, that's a tremendous ability. And they've been approved by the CDC, which is the highest level of approval that you can possibly get for testing. It's more than LabCorp, more than Quest approval. It's the CDC. LabCorp and Quest are approved by FDA. CDC has the highest level of approval. And these guys have been able to do this since March 10th. And we haven't done anything with it.
Well, didn't they make enough contributions?
I mean, I've even challenged the governor. I said, look, campaign? I'm not a big government. I'm not a big, guy to like do government programs and stuff. But if we have a high death rate in nursing homes, in care facilities, I would be okay, you know, spending $1 million or so to subsidize some testing in those facilities so that we can make sure that we're actually doing proper quarantining in those facilities when we need it so that we can open up the rest of the economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we seem to do very little for the really at-risk people, which older, in nursing homes and everything else. And then we make a lot. Somebody pointed out that for the swine flu, 80% of the people were under 60 and we did nothing. Now we get 85% of the people are over 60 and we shut the world down. I mean, it is amazing, really, when you get the comparison. Of course, they weren't baby boomers. And we must preserve the baby boomers at all costs. Nothing should shorten or allow them not to live forever.
Patrick, let me know.
We're seeing 65% of deaths in Colorado in these facilities. And so that's why I think it's appropriate. If the government wanted to actually do a legitimate response, a temporary response, and actually increase testing in those types of areas,
sure,
we should do that. And then if we did that, we could probably actually open up the rest of the economy so that we're not totally destroying the livelihood of all Coloradans. Right. I mean, can you imagine being one of the people that actually loses their job and then contracts coronavirus and has to go to the hospital, and now you're out of health insurance and everything else?
Ah,
I mean, well, we're making – this is not like some – I know a lot of the Democrats like to paint me out as like, oh, I'm whining about this or that. But for some people, this is a major life-altering situation.
Wait a minute, for everybody it is. Yeah. Oh, see on a newspaper, how do you think that's doing? I mean, you know, does Polis suffered one penny? Have one government worker in the entire state lost one penny for 1 second? No. But they want to tell all the rest
of
us.
Here's what I'm saying, too. You mentioned Polis specifically. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
If he loves full day kindergarten as much as he does, then pony up.
Yeah.
Look, I will sign on to a bill to allow gifts, grants, and donations to pay for full day kindergarten, and I would challenge Governor Polis to pay for that himself.
He can
easily do it.
And commit for the next 10 years so we're sure it's fully funded.
Hey, and Patrick, we got to let you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
You're trying to do other stuff. Thank you. We so appreciate your time with the Weekly Minority Report. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
But now we go to the King Report, or at least the King of Talk Radio, our good friend Peter Boyles from 710 KNUS. How's it going?
Hey, Peter.
Afternoon, guys.
Hey. Hi. So we talked about this on your show. We've been talking about it all week. That
Scrubgate.
Many people have seen the picture of, who hasn't seen the picture of the two people wearing, wearing scrubs and blocking the intersection when people were at the reopen Get Colorado Back to Work rally. The photographer who took it, a freelance photographer, acknowledges she did not talk to those people, has no idea, she says, who they were or what they do, but immediately started tweeting pictures, which were then, there was a progressive campaign to get them out everywhere.
And she immediately went on Sport Coat Boys program to explain not who they were, but how she and her boyfriend who went around harassing people, saying he had to join them because he was so outraged that these people
Chuck, you interrupted me.
I did not interrupt you.
You're not interrupting me. but just to clarify, so what happened was the pictures go viral. Everyone assumes they're healthcare workers. Everybody picks them up from her. These are not pictures taken by a media outlet that was there and witnessed it. This incident wasn't even witnessed by any media outlets except Westward, who says the girl told him that she worked with COVID-19 patients every day and, in fact, was going to go to work that night and work with COVID-19 patients, which is ridiculous. But to make a long story short, Peter, you've been pushing it. We've been pushing it. We've been able to get a lot of information. We had said earlier in the week that we had a source who knows the man in this, well, who recognizes both of them, maybe put it that way, recognizes both of them as people from Antifa/Progress Now who would show up and harass the people who were gathering signatures to recall Polis. And I'm going to go ahead and say the name now. We said it on your show. Our source stands by the assertion that the man in the scrubs is a guy by the name of Justin Smith. Not only does Justin Smith not work at a healthcare facility, he works in the adult entertainment industry at a strip club. Apparently, as does the woman, goes by the name DJ Pony. What, if anything, have you been hearing all day, too? Because I know you've been working on it also.
Well, you know, the interesting thing since it got dropped this morning in the 8 o'clock hour, it's been deathly silent.
Yeah.
I think Dave Logan and Rick Lewis and Kathy Lee spoke about it on KOA. But to the best of my knowledge, you know, generally, if something was going to come backwards, but it's fascinating that, the best of my knowledge, none of us have received phone calls from anyone who wants to challenge what Julie said, or offer up the truth, or even invite us on. So,
you know, I will say this. I'm going to give credit to Kagan Harsha at Fox 31. He had a direct message me saying that he too had heard the name Justin Smith from sources, but didn't have anybody like we did with direct knowledge, right? And so he got hold of him. We tried to get hold of him, but you can imagine Justin Smith or 8 million phone numbers, right? And I do want to say this. I didn't want to call his employer because the employer, the actual employer has nothing to do with this. And I didn't want the employer to say to Justin, hey, why are people calling me? So, but Kagan did get hold of, through Facebook, got hold of Justin, who says that
not me.
It wasn't him, although he does admit that he knows the photographer.
Just,
and that they have
just a strange coincidence, one in a million chances.
Yeah.
He happens to know the photographer that goes on Kyle Clark's show.
And, you know, here's my question, and kudos to Kagan for reaching out. But, you know, the biggest problem I have with this, I'll be honest, is not really with Justin Smith, right? I disagree with that tactic, but if he wants to put on scrubs and go pretend he's a healthcare worker and stand out there to make a, you know, that's one thing. But the media that ran with this without any verification, and I've talked to media people who none of them have been able to even find a hospital that acknowledge, we might even know who this is. So without any kind of verification, Peter, and then this was going to be, you know, this is the picture. It was like the tank man at Tiananmen Square, right?
That's
and it is, there is, from what everything we can tell and the people we talked to totally believe that these people are not healthcare workers at all. The guy on his Facebook page says once years ago, he worked as a security guard at Denver Health Medical Center. So I guess that
close
counts.
Enough,
yeah, close enough, close enough.
No, and generally when you bombshell something like this,
yeah,
if we were wrong, we'd know it already.
Right.
And, or someone would be calling one of the three of us for a comment or, you know, do you stand by your story? Those kinds of things. And generally, you know, having been through a lot of this stuff back through the Ramses and Players and Sugar and, you know, all the different stories that we've all been working on.
Yeah.
As soon as some hot potato like this drops, you know, somebody's calling. And it leads me to further believe. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody of immense respect for it and said, isn't it interesting that the photographer and her boyfriend and all of them were at the same intersection at the exact same time? And the two
another
women,
one of those incredible coincidences.
Well, you know,
yeah,
here's the thing. Here's the thing, and this is going to be their spin on it, because the photographer, Allison McLaren, not sure what her role is in this, but just color me skeptical, as I say, particularly because, not because of the pictures, but because of her comments. She's immediately tweeting, these are nurses, these are healthcare workers, and then acknowledging that she never talked to them. She had no idea who they were, right? And then going ahead and saying, but it doesn't matter. It's the message that counts. She flat out said in a BuzzFeed interview, hey, look, if they're not nurses, that's not the point. The point is it's the message. Her boyfriend is so moved by this spontaneous thing that he goes out and joins the healthcare workers, again, calling them the brave nurses. And as it turns out, you know, our sources tell us they're not nurses at all. They're two people who work in the healthcare industry who harassed people and tried to intimidate people in the recall polis thing. Connected to Antifa and Progress Now.
Well, I mean, none of it adds up. And then the two women, Paula and Cindy, talking about they went around that block twice. And it was their third time around. Suddenly there was that black limo. And,
famous black limo. The
SUV.
They called those things a MacGuffin. And then the roadblock. And then all of a sudden they appear.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and here's the thing.
People in front of them. Yeah, they only appeared to Cindy. And then apparently, I'm not quite sure on the time frame. I spoke with Michael, the other guy in the Chicago Bulls jersey. And I don't know if that was all at the same time, which, although that one picture, the woman in the scrubs has a torn up sign under her arm. But what Michael told me today was aggressively the male.
Mm-hmm.
Scrubs, reached in the window and tore that from his girlfriend's hands, ripped it up, and then apparently
the nonviolent,
the peaceful, heroic
healthcare workers.
Another thing they said too on your show, Cindy and Paula, that the roadblock was which it hadn't been there all afternoon, right? This is as the whole rally is winding down, and that it was like a wooden sawhorse kind of thing. I don't know, obviously, for sure, but I know I've covered a ton of these kind of events, and they don't use wooden sawhorses, right? They use the metal barricades that all link together. We've all seen the trucks where they have them in the back of the truck, and they go down, thwomp, and they pop them down, right? They don't have wooden sawhorses.
No, but the way they explained it is they couldn't make a right and get out of his way.
Right.
And they were trapped, and then in that moment, then the pictures began. But it's, I mean, look, it's so hard to, you know, I mean, it's like seeing the picture of a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of that stuff. And it's always some guy, you know, that, or there's somebody's night fishing and a UFO comes down. I mean,
right.
Come on. You know, that was a combination of somebody saw the Bigfoot and they were night fishing and I don't know, in Arkansas.
Well, here's what makes me skeptical. Because I want to point out, and for folks who don't know, these the Progress Now people, the Antifa people, those progressive organizations have, I guess I would call it, armies of sock puppets. And those are people who have multiple social media accounts. And their whole point is when something like this happens is to push it out and push it viral as fast as possible.
But Progress Now and all of those have allies in the media like Kyle Clark. I mean, Kyle Clark pushed heroin for kids. And young people, and they had him pushing it, saying, "Oh no, this is a caring way to indict people." I mean, the Kyle Clarks are as big a reason why we have a corrupt media as they come. It just is.
Well, the newscast will begin at 4. I've looked at Complete Colorado. In fact, I looked at the Denver Post Online. And all they're serving up just at last about an hour ago was the that awful Zoom that Kyle Clark showed last night with everyone being so upset.
Oh, yeah.
That, right. Yeah, that these racist, anti-Semitic things. With
well,
10, yeah. Like 10 days later. And they always go on conservative talk radio. And, you know, dude, I'm not a conservative talk radio host. We're. You know, at least
you're a rebel.
Well, yeah, you know,
here's the other thing. We got to be aware of the tactics, right? So, like I say, they take the picture, staged, coincidental, I don't know. But I do find it interesting that Allison McLaren opens a Twitter account in April. Her first post are those pictures. And within a matter of hours, she goes from 0 followers to roughly like 5,000 followers.
And
right?
Within a couple hours of that, she's on with Kyle Clark.
Right. And on top of that, so then our Justin Smith, right, DJ Pony, so he posts on Facebook all the time. A lot of his posts really critical of the rallies to open Colorado, and I'm that's putting it politely, right? Yeah, that's going on. He says he's blocked from Reopen Colorado. We're trying to join the group because he was trolling them. He then posts a picture of himself. What I believe, and my source believes, is himself in the scrubs. Every other post, he has maybe 4 views, 2 or 3 comments. On this one, and this one only, he has roughly 2,000 views, and it's like commented on roughly 4,000 times, right?
And he says, be sure to give credit to a good friend, Allison.
Who I know, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, give me a break. And again, the reason that's important is because they do that to spread it out. And if the people in the media, the mainstream media, who then turn around and they take a picture, and we're going to talk with Dahlia Weinstein coming up about this in a second, but you know, now I'm hearing that, well, let's just look at it. So this woman says, well, I'm Joe, and I'm going to work tonight with COVID-19 patients. There can't be that many, you know, hospital employees named Joe working that night with COVID-19 patients. And apparently, the media people I've talked to are saying, well, we have contact at the hospital, and none of them have any idea who this person is. So my question is, then why did you run the story? Why did you run the picture? Why didn't you say, look, this, you know, no one has any idea except for conservative people who say they're not healthcare workers, who these people might be or what hospital they might work at. That should be a red flag.
Well, if, as we said, fit the narrative, it fit the Denver Post, it fit,
sure,
you know, around, you know, and we've all been contacted now by other dominant media sources. And
right.
I'm glad to hear Fox called you, Julie. I had somebody call me and try to wave me off, but we got the real guys. I said, okay, you go with that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Who are they?
They go, yeah, exactly. Well, you and I both, they've been portrayed as heroes, right? Why would they not sit down? And yet,
no, sure, take a bow. Yeah.
And the same thing is, at the same time, then they demonize, and you've talked on your show about the harm that's been done to Cindy and Paula and Michael, the other people who were in that picture, right? No attempt to reach out to them and get their side of the story to say, well, what did you see? Did this seem staged to you? Did you see how this happened? Zero attempt. And it just, that's why, you know, we talked a lot about you know, because we're getting hassled, right? You're getting hassled. But I just thought, you cannot let this stand. You can't let them stage this. You can't let fake people pose as heroes when the real heroes, right, are getting trashed.
Well, like I said, it's an interesting weekend straight ahead. We're back at 5 Monday. Let's see. And, you know, if there were something, if there is something, you know, they're like, you know, ants on a picnic table right now. They're rushing to find something. And my best bet is they'll say nothing.
Right. My bet is too. Yeah. I know, like I said, Kagan told me that Justin Smith told him, no, it's not me. Although, yes, I do know the photographer. We have mutual friends, which is like Chuck says, that's a lot of coincidences.
One in a billion,
you know, coming together.
I was coming out of the bank and
trying to. That's just my Carrie.
So what do you, Peter, we'll let you go here because we got Dale coming on. What do you got coming up on Monday at 7:10 KNUS?
Well, I mean, and it's really, so we have the Michael guy coming back on who really has been destroyed. But Chuck Morris, who is going to begin a whole new department at CSU. He's somewhat getting out of the music promotion business. And
really?
We're going to teach music. Yeah, we had, it was almost emotional. We had about a 40-minute conversation this morning, and I love him so much. And we talked about, you know, life and times, and he's going to teach at CSU in the fall, and they're going to say business of music, and he's going to open a department up there, and he's going to become professor.
Really? Now he was working for Anschutz, right?
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Still does. And, you know, it's going to be, what a turn. And he's going to be on about 7:30. And I think by that time,
well, he's always very entertaining.
Yeah.
Always the best. I love him.
Hey, Peter, before you ring off.
Yeah, we can. We got some people watching on Zoom, so the kind of callers people. So go ahead, Chris.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good. Say, you know, I've listened to your show and also Stefan and Michael and Paula and Cindy. And there's a spirit that was down there, and I think, you know, maybe there's an undercurrent to this that maybe we want to highlight, that the people that were down there were really very patriotic, very civil rights, and very positive and upbeat. I mean, Paula is a spitfire, and Michael was so emotional and so involved. Those people were down there for a reason, and that was for our civil rights. They want to see the city open back up, and they want to see us return to our lives. And there's another person on here that's a friend of mine, and she might chime in here in a little while, but there was a spirit down there that I don't think is being portrayed accurately. Mm-hmm. On your show, yes, we're focused on this more than what was taking place down there.
Ferris, Michael, I wasn't there. And I've said it 30 times. There's 31 times. I wasn't there. And so I know this much. If I was going to try and break the spirit, I'd have walked down and done it in the state capitol. I'd have stopped everybody on Lincoln Street in my scrubs. So, I don't know. You know, take that someplace else, buddy. I wasn't there.
All right. Well, no, that's okay. I understand what Chris is trying to say. Hey, Peter, we're going to let you go because we're going to bring Dahlia
love
up.
Love you guys.
Thank you for that.
The work that you guys did. Thanks, man.
Hey, for you too. Thank you. And we got a bunch of people on Zoom. And I want to let you know we're going to talk to Dahlia first, and then we can open it up for comments then too. But Chris, I understand what you're saying, that the real story, and you're right, you know, one of the things that gets buried is it's the evil Trump-supporting civil rights patriots against the heroic healthcare workers. Mm. Let me bring in, though, now, I want to bring in Dahlia Weinstein. She is a former Rocky Mountain News photographer, and she and I have talked. So first let me say, hey, if we can find her on Zoom so we can bring her up. Hey, Dahlia, thank you for coming in. Hi there.
That's not Dahlia.
That's not Dahlia, that's Chris. Can we...
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
You don't look like Chris at all.
I just want to correct you. I was a columnist. I was not a photographer.
Okay.
I worked with all of the photographers, obviously. You know, they would cover a lot of the events. I worked with a lot of the freelancers because I did a lot of the society coverage. So I was going to all the galas and all the fundraisers and all that. Well, and even that, even things that were lifestyle, you had to get the information of the people that were in the photos.
Right.
There was no discussion about it. There was no like, oh, you know, I missed that or whatever. That photo did not run.
Right.
You didn't have the information. And it's just incredible to me to see, you know, what's happening now. I mean, and you and I spoke briefly yesterday, but I felt like this for years, that journalism is dead. There's no such thing as reporters, hard news reporters anymore. I feel like, you know, everybody is an opinion columnist, right. You know, even if it's supposedly hard news, it's not.
Well, Adelia, it's worse than that, because there's only one opinion that's tolerated. Yeah. I can tell you that, having been there. It is. I mean, I was been a longtime reporter and can get crabby. And so I didn't mind raising my hand and say, hey, no. But I worked with a lot of younger reporters, and you could not raise your hand and disagree. I guarantee, I know there are good reporters in Denver, and I know that maybe some of them are saying, should we have run that photo? But I guarantee you also, for them to try to raise their hand in the newsroom and say that, it would be impossible. Yeah. I want to go back to what we first started with, because I totally concur. For a million years, I was on the streets in Denver with newspaper photographers. And always, when they took a picture, they had little notebooks, and they would go walking up to the person, and they would get their name and whatever information. And you're saying, and if you didn't get that, if the person refused to give it to you or refused to say who they were, you didn't run it, right?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. And I went so far as, you know, after we spoke yesterday, I just wanted to go back and confirm, you know, the Rocky Photography Department won the Pulitzer after Columbine.
Right.
And I went back and looked at the photos. Now, you're talking about a murder scene with people that were completely panicked, hysterical.
Yes.
And every single photo had identification, unless it was a very large group photo.
Right.
And that's journalism. That's right. What you're supposed to do. And I don't know. It really is journalism 101. If I could tell you a quick funny story, I was thinking back when I was in journalism school. I went to University of Florida, and I did not graduate with a degree in journalism. I majored in frat parties and sorority parties.
Not bad.
Good for you.
But I did take one class, and it was my first journalism class. And the first assignment was, the instructor gave us a series of, information about a scene, a crime scene. And, you know, Joe Bob, and, you know, this name, that name. And they asked us to write a blotter about what had happened. And everybody turned it in. And at the end, the instructor said, you've all failed because you spelled every name wrong. You got every street.
Yes.
Because nobody, when you say Jim Bob, you spell it J-I-M-B-O-B, right? Mm. No, it was G-Y-M-E. You know,
sure.
That was the first lesson we learned.
Is, right.
You know, you've got to ask the questions. Don't ever make assumptions. And, you know, I did it once at the Rocky at a fundraiser, a very prominent family. I actually thought a couple was husband and wife, and they were actually brother and sister. And so when I wrote about them, I was like, so-and-so and his wife, and they called me the next day.
Oh, yeah.
They were totally wonderful about it. But guess what? The next day, the Rocky printed what?
Yeah.
The
correction. Exactly.
On page 1A, right?
Yeah. And I want to let folks know, Charlene, who is like one of my favorite listeners, says, hey, give the number to call in. So I want to do that for folks too, because people can call in, and because you'll take calls too. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I want to back up a second and tell you what I kind of think has been going on for years in journalism, and that is that the budgets have gotten smaller, smaller, smaller. So now they rely on things, for instance, they share a helicopter. They pull news conferences that they just send a photographer to, so no one even asks questions. But to me, this is why it still matters, Journalism 101. So this is a picture. Again, this is not a picture that the Denver Post reporter or a Channel 9 photographer took. This is a picture that a freelance photographer, yeah, who essentially is just, I mean, that's a nice word. That means you had a, yeah, good camera.
Oh, boy.
But she was, yeah, she would be like, you know, I don't know, Rev showing up and taking a picture, yeah, right? She takes a picture. She tweets it out. They call her, ask for permission to use the picture, because you have to now, and go to town. Zero, yeah, attempt. And then they all say in the bottom of their headlines all say, help healthcare workers or nurses, right? Then buried in the story is the fact that they have no idea who these people are, and they can't find a hospital that acknowledges, you know, that they work there. Would that have happened, do you think, when you were there?
No, not back when I was there. And I left in 2007. And like I said to you, you know, yesterday, I felt like the Rocky was still, you know, legitimate at that point. And right. even though, there, you know, I was the token conservative in the newsroom, and it was mm-hmm. kind of a running joke, and I was fine with it. But all of the liberal writers that I knew never put their politics into whatever the stories were that they were doing, unless it was a political story and they were giving their opinion. Or if it was a news story, they would write the facts. That's right. How journalism is supposed to be. And, you know, and I think you had mentioned this morning, I was listening to you on Peter, when Kyle interviewed the photographer, didn't she say, it doesn't matter?
Yes, right. Yes.
She says, everything. That's it.
End that's right.
story, done. Done.
That's right. That's good, Charlene.
It does matter. It absolutely matters. You know?
And that's the bottom line thing that matters, right? You don't.
Well, this wasn't a photograph on page 20 or something. It's their front page picture.
All over.
And also, Julie and I talked about this yesterday. So I don't know if it was AP or Reuters that picked up the photo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so every single news outlet in the world that gets a photo from either of those organizations assumes that they vetted that photo and that the information in the photo is accurate and correct and that they can run it exactly the way it was given to them. So I don't even blame all these other worldwide news outlets necessarily, but I do blame these, you know, photography, you know, organizations, writers. News organizations that,
distribute
that don't
it.
Vet anything. They just right. have.
That don't. Let's bring Charlene in. Would love. Charlene is, like I said, Charlene, you're one of our favorite listeners. So thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. Well, kudos to you, Julie. I'm telling you, you've got.
Well, I did it all.
No,
got some courage. I'll tell you that right now. You take anybody on, but here's the thing: in the few times I've been interviewed by a reporter, the first thing they ask you is your name. They write it down, and then the last thing they ask you is how to spell your name. So, right. I mean, that is like number one of journalism, and I'm not even a journalist, and everybody knows that much. But then, second of all, I think you're being too kind to this Justin guy. I have a problem with him because he passes himself off as a nurse. He cooperates with a stage setup, and then he rips up the poster, which is private property of a real protester. And then this poor Linda girl, she gets caught in the crosshairs, and she gets her license tag blast off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
You know, I don't have a problem with Justin's employer being called and saying, we need to speak with Justin.
But
they're closed, unfortunately.
Well, I know, but I mean, and you know, I can talk big because I'm not you. But I'm just saying, this is it's a stage set up from the get-go, and they needed a sympathy piece to counter, to raise public opinion against the protesters who simply want to go back to work. And they used the, the perp image. Most, you know, nurses are the most respected profession next to, and then doctors are up there too. So they used nurses. These people knew they were being used.
Are you trying to say that it wouldn't have the same effect if saying people from a strip club stood in front of the
exactly. Ted, it's like, okay, so these strippers stand up and they say, we want to keep everything closed, you know. So who's going to care about that? I mean, it's the stolen valor of the nurse's image across, you know, the world since Florence Nightingale. But anyway, so, and then the other thing is, there's a page called Reopen Colorado. There's like 20,000 people on there.
Right.
There are several videos, and I've posted videos on different pages. There is a view from like the fourth or fifth floor of a building where they show that Justin go over there and rip that poster off of her window and out of her hand and tear it up and drop it to the ground.
Yeah.
Now that's I don't know what that's called, but that's personal property.
Destruction of personal property.
Right.
Yeah.
Destruction of potential.
Exactly. And so anyway, I wish you would look at that video.
Don't be so nice to the guy.
Yeah. All right, Charlene.
Don't be so kind to Justin. Anyway, so, but I want to just tell you, there is a, this, reporter is already backtracking. Have you heard a recent article from what she said?
No, not recent.
Okay. She says the video identifies the counter protesters as nurses, and the caption on the photos refers to them as healthcare workers, but their identities and occupations have not yet been confirmed.
I hadn't had a chance to confirm. Right. That's the trouble. Let me bring Dalian. Go ahead, Dalian. Make your point.
Been confirmed. I love that. Have not yet. When are you going to confirm it? Next year?
Exactly. Next year. When it's lost.
It's like the Steele dossier. Right. Unverified at this moment, but.
Charlene, thank you for your call.
We just have to call this out wherever it's at. That's our
exactly. Well, and I want to again give credit to the people who called me and said, because they could have kept quiet. They could have kept quiet. They went through the whole recall police harassment, right? Yeah, they did all of that. And so,
well, let's go to another call. Let's go to Tom.
Charlene, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Charlene.
Right, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for calling in with Chuck and Julie and Dahlia.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. Tom and Lone Tree.
Yeah, we missed you. Hello.
Hey, did you guys see that video where the fake male nurse goes in and rips the sign out of her hand?
Yeah, the caring nurse. No, I didn't see it.
I'll go to Charlene's and find. I know Peter's talked about it too. So doesn't look like a caring.
It's on Time Magazine.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
You can go there. Time Magazine. I just looked up fake nurse Colorado, and I thought Time Magazine had, nurses protesting in Colorado, and it's about halfway down in the article, and you click on that, and it shows him standing there. First of all, he's standing in front of a green light, not a red light.
Yeah.
And I noticed the article from the BuzzFeed said they were only going out, during red lights.
Right.
There was another article that said the police had to tell them to stop blocking traffic.
Right.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's my impression they only stood there for very briefly, right? Which again is why I'm skeptical that Allison, the photographer, who happens to know Justin Smith, just happened to coincidentally be walking by at that moment with her camera ready. So, I mean, Dahlia, you've read photographers. It always happens that you're just kind of walking up and down the street, and then something happens. You're like, oh, and you fumble, and then it's over.
I don't know if Peter's still on, but I spoke to him after the show this morning, and I said to him, how many photographers and reporters must have been out covering that? And out of all of them, the only one that was on the corner at that exact moment when this happened was this one freelance photographer that didn't, check to see what their names were, if they actually were nurses.
Right.
And,
it
just, the whole thing is just fishy, And then obviously with the investigation that you've done, I mean, to say that, his Facebook page said she's a friend. I mean, come on, really? If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck,
Maybe it's a duck.
Hey, Tom, thank you for calling in. Dahlia, I want to ask you another question because I want to point something out too, the double standard on this. So not only did none of the organizations before they ran this picture of the heroic fake nurses, not only did they not verify who they were or where they worked before they ran it, the one thing they did that is different is they did run the license plate of the two women. Now, I can tell you what, I worked in news for a long time, and it was kind of like, okay, technically, can you show the license plate? Just like in Colorado, technically, can you say the name of a child sex assault victim? Well, yes, right? But you don't. As a courtesy, you don't. And for years, as a courtesy, just because you know what can happen when somebody's face gets splashed all over the news, you would digitize, they call it, and cover up that license plate. I find it extremely fishy that wasn't done by people.
Yeah, but you know why? Because they don't care what happens to the people that were in the truck.
Right.
No.
Right.
It doesn't fit their narrative to, be sensitive to those people. So I don't think it even crossed anybody's mind to do that.
No.
Well, they probably were happy they're harassed. That fits their MO.
Right.
I mean, that's good.
And, I wanted to just say there was a gentleman, I guess, Chris earlier, who was talking about, the people down there and everyone was in a great mood and, trying to explain to our politicians that people want to get back to work. And the fact that you have to even defend that is unbelievable to me.
Right.
You know, I keep having to remind myself, are we in America? We're in America, right? Like, we kind
of.
You shouldn't have to do that. Well, let me tell
you. It's not like they were standing there going, give us more money, give us government checks, you know, take care of us. These are people that are like, we want to go back to work. We
right.
Well, that's inherently suspect.
I mean,
AOC said when they open back up, people should refuse to go to work. Yeah, that's it, AOC. That's perfect.
People
working is now the crime.
Well, yeah,
against
exactly.
Humanity. It's
the
a crime
criminal.
To work. You know, right. No, if you're out there working,
you're the
schmuck.
Criminal. The cops are going to show up. If you're a felon, let it go. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 is the number to call. We've got a lot of people there. Dahlia, you can stay on too, but I just want to let folks know we've got a lot of people on Zoom. If you want to comment on what we'd like you to do here, the BBC guy said, what you can do is you can unmute your microphone. And if you want to come on, just go ahead and unmute the microphone. You run the show, basically. Mm-hmm. Click on the little video camera and you'll pop up, okay? Don't do it naked. If you're in the shower, wait.
Depending.
You know.
There are certain exceptions to that rule. But
I want to go back, and unless somebody wants to call in or pop in, back to Lodelia. Again, it is astonishing to me that what they're saying now is they run the picture, right? And then now they're saying, well, we haven't been able to verify it.
And remember what I said to you yesterday about the New York Times when they started laying people off years ago?
Right.
The first department they let go were the fact checkers.
Right.
Well, because they knew that they were a mess and they weren't correct. So we wanted to get rid of them.
Well,
how can you fact check?
No, but it's just like that just shows, you know, here's this, you know, newspaper that used to have, you know, the most solid reputation.
Yeah,
and they haven't had that in a long time. And, you know, to know that the fact checkers were irrelevant to them says everything you need to know.
Well, they're low on the totem pole, the first to let go, the most expendable, the least essential. They were the least essential.
And you know, and it's one thing, and I get that if you're just a random person on Twitter and you've got a Twitter account and you get a picture, you post it, right? And the journalists would tell, well, so-called journalists would tell you, well, you know, we're under pressure to get it now. Twitter makes everything have to go faster, blah, blah, blah. But to me, I say, that doesn't matter. You still have to get it right. The Gateway Pundit had a whole series of pictures of these fake nurses basically showing up, the stage photo ops. And
this is across the country.
Right.
This is a good one. You know, anytime people protest, we'll put out fake workers out there. And they show them huddling together and going out quickly, snapping the pictures. So this isn't just a Colorado hoax. This is not just Kyle Clark involved in this one. It's really a national trend.
And it is astonishing to me. You know, Dahlia, I said this earlier, too, that I can kind of, and I don't agree with it, but understand the media pressure, given the immediacy of things, okay, to run with the picture, right? It's out there, right? But to me, the way you handle that is you make it totally clear right up front. You don't call them healthcare workers.
And then say,
Then at the end of the story, say, hey, we have no idea actually who these people
are. Two people dressed in nurse scrubs.
Right, and that's what you do.
Would not identify themselves.
You mean they buried the lead? Really?
Well, they buried the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
They buried the truth. Hey, we got Joan from Denver.
Yeah, so,
Joan, go ahead. Joan, you're up too. Go ahead. Hey, Joan, thanks for calling.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say, Sunday, 4:26 from noon to 2, we're going to do another Open Colorado.
Yeah.
And because the posts on Facebook and Twitter are being taken down, it's better to text, and I posted the number. It's 89517. So you're going to text to 89517. And so anyway, that's this Sunday. My understanding is they're going to be speakers, so we're going to be on the grounds of the Capitol, but it's also to drive around and you know, bring your camera, your signs, and a scarf or a mask, you know, just
right.
in case you need it.
And your nursing scrubs.
I wonder if will you request the surveillance camera footage at that intersection, because I don't think. You know, I because there was so much other going on than what a lot – when I looked at all these videos and these other things, I mean, you know, the pictures.
Right.
It looked like there were at least four cameramen, not just one. I know that there were two at least.
Oh, okay.
So,
Julie?
Yeah.
Julie,
yeah.
It's Chris again, and hi, Dahlia. I've looked at that video of the time, and I'll share that to you here shortly.
Okay.
So is what we have here is the trifecta of fake nurses, fake stories, and fake media. Yeah. It is the absolute trifecta.
You're absolutely right there. Hey, Joan, thank you for calling. I'll let folks know, 89, wait, let me get my glasses on here.
89517
is the number to call there. You know, and
Julie, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm curious. So you did all this incredible research. You were able to find this person. And if, you know, if it's validated that this is the guy, they weren't nurses, this and that, how many of these outlets, okay, forget the ones that have gone all over the country, because really there's no way to even track that, but how many of the local media outlets here are actually going to correct the record or apologize?
None.
None of them.
So, you know, and they won't even, I like I said, I'm going to give credit to Kagan Harsha at Fox 31, who indicated to me that he had heard the name Justin Smith as well, but had not been able to find anybody. But you know what? Here's the thing.
Well, he did get him on Facebook, and surprisingly, the guy said it's not me, which I'm not sure.
But here's where, here's the problem I have, and this is with all due respect to the place where I used to work. So they don't go with the story because they can't verify who Justin Smith is, right?
But they went with the initial story when they couldn't verify that they were actually nurses.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so that's my thing. I doubt that we will see anyone, even if they don't want to identify Justin Smith, I doubt that we'll see anyone say that there are serious questions being raised. Because again, let's go back. We know that she told, the woman in scrubs told Westward.
She was Joe.
She was Joe, and she was working with COVID-19 patients that night.
Well, there's probably maybe 20 people total, none of them named Joe probably.
Let me finish. The point is that if you're a media organization, and it's my understanding that some of them have tried, right? So I know that the media organization, because they don't want to talk to these people because they're heroes, right? They're not trying to see if it's true or not. They want to talk to them because they're heroes. No one has been able to find anybody. Okay. That's Chris. I was just showing the picture there. So no one has been able to find anybody who has any idea who these nurses are. Not only that, there's no murmurs. That alone, you think, would make the news organization say, hey, look, we want to, maybe it's not really a correction, but we want to sort of set the record clear and say, we all said these were healthcare workers, but we haven't been able to confirm that at all. And given the circumstances,
it's highly suspect.
That's telling.
And just to go back to the reporter from Westward, and I don't know which reporter it was, but if something like that happened back in the day at the Rocky, where, you know, the person said, oh, I don't want to be identified, my name is Joe, I don't want to give you my last name, that's when the reporter or the photographer says, look, off the record, I need to confirm who you are, so you can give me your last name, but I will not print it. And a lot of times, like, I had a recorder with me, even when I was at these, you know, lifestyle events where nobody could get in trouble necessarily, but I always recorded interviews because I never wanted anything to come back on me.
Sure.
Oh, that's exactly... When you were on TV, the way it would do, you would start the interview saying, hey, can you say and spell your name, right?
Absolutely.
Now, it was always kind of embarrassing when the person was like, A-N-N, as I like. But you did that. And, you know, I want to address that Joan's comment. Can we ask for the surveillance video? There are Halo cameras, kind of like, and I forget the technical name for the unit, there are all over the place. I have no doubt that some of this was captured on the Halo camera. At least it could have been. Here's a problem with that. They don't, and how do I say it? I don't have any reason to think the Denver police have any kind of involvement in this at all, but they, as a matter of practice, you know, even if you're a defense attorney, it takes a subpoena. They have to want to release it. That is something we could do, but my guess would be
sue them maybe an open record.
Yeah, my guess, exactly. And that would take a while. And my guess would be,
and money.
Cause yeah, that's, so there's that. Hey, listen,
I'm curious if an attorney sort of comes out of the woodwork and wants to help Michael's girlfriend, possibly, because if he did reach into her car and rip that sign out, I don't know, and there's video evidence of it, who knows? I mean,
the Denver DA will not, is about as political as she can get, and she will not.
Oh, no, because if you forget, Dahlia, this is racist.
It's racist.
Well, I've been a Nazi for the last 4 years, and my last name is Weinstein.
No, we're racist because you said Nazi on our show. So
Weinstein doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, the fact that, yes. Hey, Dahlia, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Hi, Dahlia, you've been great. Just wonderful. Thanks so much.
You guys, and we're going to keep following this. I know we could probably go a little longer, but we got stuff to do, so we're going to
No problem. We're going to
wrap it up. All right, I want to thank Patrick Neville, Peter Boyles, Dahlia Weinstein, and everybody who's listening. We hope you come back. What we'd really like to have you do is, if you can, go to our YouTube page and subscribe, because then we can carry some of these things live as they're happening too, and we can throw some of this video on. We just need a certain number of subscribers. And always,
and we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there slowly but surely. And I want to thank once again our sponsor, Colorado Citizen Press. Got to go see it. Great stories every day. You want to check it out. Tremendous people. The only thing that really has a conservative viewpoint of anyone doing Colorado
News. And I
wanted
to say thank you to everybody joining us on Zoom. I think this is one of the cool things. We just want to make this a place where, you know, you get information, hopefully you're entertained a little bit, and you feel connected with people. So I love to see everybody on Zoom, and because that's cool. I think, you know, talk radio is fun, but we really like the video aspect. And adding to that, then, I want to really say, there's Ben. Hey, Ben. I realize we should do like my school teacher does, or all the kids say hi. I really want to thank the folks, Doug and Don at BBS Radio. They make all of the magic happen behind the scenes and keep us rolling. So thanks to you guys as well.
All right. Well, that's it till Monday. It should be an interesting weekend, and it should be a jam-packed show Monday at 3 o'clock.
Thanks, guys.